Let's turn in God's Word to the Gospel of Luke. In Luke's Gospel, where we heard last Lord's Day in chapter 22. Of the sufferings and of Jesus and bringing him before the chief priests and scribes, the Jewish leaders. And now we come to Luke chapter 23, where he is delivered over to Pontius Pilate and continuing in the sufferings and humiliation and this life and his death on the cross and burial. Luke chapter 23, we'll be reading the whole chapter, verses 1 through 56. And Luke chapter 23, verse 1, these are his words. And the whole multitude of them arose and led him unto Pilate. And they began to accuse him, saying, "We found this fellow perverting the nation and forbidding to give tribute to Caesar, saying that he himself is Christ, a king." And Pilate asked him, saying, "Art thou the king of the Jews?" And he answered him and said, "Thou sayest it." Then said Pilate to the chief priests and to the people, "I find no fault in this man." And they were the more fierce, saying, "He stirreth up the people, teaching throughout all Jewry, beginning from Galilee to this place." When Pilate heard of Galilee, he asked whether the man were a Galilean. And as soon as he knew that he belonged under Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who himself also was at Jerusalem at that time. And when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceeding glad, for he was desirous to see him for a long season, because he had heard many things of him. And he hoped to have seen some miracle done by him. Then he questioned with him in many words, but he answered him nothing. And the chief priests and scribes stood and vehemently accused him. And Herod, with his men of war, set him at naught and mocked him and arrayed him in a gorgeous robe and sent him again to Pilate. And the same day Pilate and Herod were made friends together, for before they were at enmity between themselves. And Pilate, when he had called together the chief priests and the rulers and the people, said unto them, "Ye have brought this man unto me as one that perverteth the people. And behold, I, having examined him before you, have found no fault in this man, touching those things whereof ye accuse him. No, nor yet Herod, for I sent you to him, and lo, nothing worthy of death is done unto him. I will therefore chastise him and release him. For of necessity you must release one unto them at the feast." And they cried out all at once, saying, "Away with this man, and release unto us Barabbas, who for a certain sedition made in the city, and for murder was cast into prison." Pilate, therefore, willing to release Jesus, spake again to them. But they cried out, saying, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" And he said unto them the third time, "Why? What evil hath he done? I have found no cause of death in him. I will therefore chastise him and let him go." And they were instant with loud voices requiring that he might be crucified. And the voices of them and of the chief priests prevailed. And Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they required. And he released unto them him that for sedition and murder was cast into prison, whom they had desired. But he delivered Jesus to their will. And as they led him away, they laid hold upon one Simon, a Cyrene, coming out of the country, and on him they laid the cross, that he might bear it after Jesus. And there followed him a great company of people and of women, which also bewailed and lamented him. But Jesus, turning unto them, said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming in the which they shall say, 'Blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bear, and the paps which never gave suck.' Then shall they begin to say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if they do these things in a green tree, what shall be done in the dry? And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand and one and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. The soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, This is the King of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour, and the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Now when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, Certainly, this was a righteous man. And all the people that came together to that sight, beholding the things that which were done, smote their breasts and returned. And all his acquaintance and the women that followed him from Galilee stood afar off, beholding these things. And behold, there was a man named Joseph, a counselor, and he was a good man and a just. The same had not consented to the counsel and deed of them. He was of Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who also himself waited for the kingdom of God. This man went into Pilate and begged the body of Jesus, and he took it down and wrapped it in linen and laid it in a sepulcher that was hewn in stone where never man before was laid. And that day was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew on. And the women also which came with him from Galilee followed after and beheld the sepulcher and how his body was laid. And they returned and prepared spices and ointments and rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment. Those are God's words. So again, Jesus, having been taken in by the Jewish leaders and led, is then led to the Roman governor Pontius Pilate. We learned in the previous chapter, the Jews, and other places also in the Gospels, that Jews believed that Christ was worthy of death because he committed, in their minds, blasphemy, claiming that he was God, I am, and claiming that he was king. And now in verse 2, when the Jews bring him to Pontius Pilate, they don't say that he committed blasphemy. They come up with another reason that Pilate would see that he would be worthy of being crucified. That is, they came up with the excuse. They accused him before Pilate of trying to claim authority over Caesar by saying he's a king. And Pilate questions Jesus but finds no fault with him. A phrase, finding no fault with him, is throughout the passage many times. And through verse 12, he's questioned by Herod, but did not answer Herod's questions. And also verse 12, you see that in the world, when there is enmity between people, the wicked have enmity between themselves, that they can become united, even friends, when they have a common enemy. And here that common enemy is Jesus Christ. And so Pilate and Herod were made friends together, for before they were at enmity between themselves. And that's what happens with the church. We create common enemies against us because we follow after Christ. And they become united. And so don't be surprised when enemies that should be enemies in the world come together against God's people. And Herod and his men mock Jesus. They send him back to Pilate. Well, through verse 25, Pilate, not finding any guilt in Jesus, and yet struggled with the Jews to release him. And he finally gave up. And then the account of Jesus being led up to be crucified through verse 31. And you see here the women, verse 27, who bewailed and lamented him. Something that was good. Nothing wrong with lamenting what was happening to Jesus and the wrong done to him. But Jesus turned to them and said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children." Weep not for me. There's more important things to weep for. And that is the destruction of Jerusalem that would come at the right time. And so here, weeping for yourselves and for your children. Some who might not even be able to feed their babies because of the destruction that will come. And then through verse 38, there at the cross, two others at each side of him, two the right, one on the right, one on the left. He is hung there on the cross, nails in his hands and feet, suffocating to death. He was mocked, and above him on the cross in three languages written, "This is the King of the Jews." And then through verse 43, Jesus speaks with one of the criminals who hung next to him after he had rebuked the other criminal. And he said to Jesus, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." This teaches us, as we've learned about this in the other Gospels, this teaches us something. That though we might be justified in Christ, saved in general terms, saved in the Lord Jesus Christ, we still come under the condemnation of our sins here on earth in our bodies. And so the thief on the cross did so. He died that day, but the same day with Christ in paradise. And what a thing we can praise the Lord for. And so today, beloved, you can gain the kingdom if you put your faith in Jesus, as this man, the thief on the cross, did, knowing Jesus was innocent and yet condemned for his sins. And then through verse 49, the death of Christ, our Lord and Savior. Even a centurion there saw his death and glorified God, saying, "Certainly this was a righteous man." Something that's a theme there in chapter 23, this chapter before us. Pilate seeing there's no fault in him. Many people seeing there was no fault in him. And here the centurion too, seeing that he was a righteous man. Even the thief on the cross saw the same, because he was righteous. Perfectly righteous. And so Jesus died. He was buried. He most certainly, by many witnesses, was perfectly righteous. And so he is the perfect atonement for our sins, offered there to you here this evening. And so we are called again to put our faith in the crucified Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word again. We're thankful for the different lessons we are able to learn in the different synoptic gospels. In Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And we'll learn even more in the Gospel of John. We're thankful that these witnesses testify of the truth of Christ's perfect righteous life, His perfect atoning satisfactory substitutionary death on the cross, His burial, and then Lord willing, next Lord's Day we will read about again on the third day His resurrection from the dead and appearing to many witnesses and then ascending up into heaven, now seated as our mediatorial King who reigns over all. And so as He reigns now over all as our mediator King, and He is sovereign over all nations and over all peoples and over all creation and even head of the church, Father, we pray and seek for Your help even now for Vanessa, who's in an accident, and of course not an accident in Your eyes, You planned it. Pray that You would heal her and her bone of her leg, also any other parts of her body that may be harmed or hurting. I know she's on lots of medication, so not very clear of mind. Pray that You would clear her mind and that You would take any swelling down that there is and bring healing to her, if that be Your will. We pray also for Tim as he desires to go to Ghana, that You would be with him and attaining what he needs to attain and go through the hoops that he needs to go to get there soon, to help her in her recovery. We know it's not easy to go to those nations in Africa, and pray that You will help her and help him and make everything turn out for the good of Your people and Your church. Father, we pray also for this nation and the nations of this world, that they would covenant with Christ Your Son, they would turn from their sins unto You, even our own nation, and our nation's leaders would love You and love Your Son Jesus Christ, that You would cause them to hear the word even through our lips and through our efforts by Your grace, that we would be bold in telling our civil leaders, civil magistrates, local, even to the federal level, when we have opportunity to meet them and speak with them. We pray that we would be bold with the gospel, that they would hear and believe unto salvation. For that truly is the only hope for this nation, to believe on Your Son Jesus Christ and to lead the people to turn unto Him by turning people to Your word and turning people to the churches, the faithful churches, and that all the false churches and the churches that have put in and put up idolatries and altars and false forms of worship, that they would be turned down and turned aside and be brought to nothing, or that they would, Lord willing, repent and turn to You and worship according to Your word. That is what we truly pray for, and that we ask for Your will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. And Father, we ask that You would build us up in our souls, that You would cause us, even of our children, to turn unto You in faith, true saving faith in Christ Your Son, even our grandchildren. And we ask that You would, of those who have gone out from us and played the fool, that You would cause them to remember the word that they've heard, that is in their hearts, written there. And they've heard many times the gospel. And Father, we ask that You would turn them to Yourself, even that they would be plagued by Your word, that Your word would haunt them and come back to them again and again. Even the songs they sung before would come into their memory and they would sing it, and they cannot get it out of their heads, just like a song that we would sing and get stuck in our head. Father, we pray that Your word would get stuck in their head and in their heart, and it would plague them, that they would have no recourse or option except to turn unto Christ Your Son. And that we pray, that You would work by Your Holy Spirit in that way. For they often, when we try to take the word to them, will have none of it and will not hear us. And so we pray for your will to be done. We know they are hardened in their hearts, but you alone can change the hearts of men. And so we leave our prayers with you, and we leave their salvation with you, since you are the God who saves alone, your elect. And you've already determined whether they will be yours or not. So, Father, your will be done. And we trust your plan. Even though it might hurt us now, we know it is for the good of us and also for your glory, and which is the reason we are here. For our chief end is to glorify you and enjoy you forever, even in your judgments, even in your decrees from all eternity. We put our trust in you. We put our trust in the mediator, Jesus Christ, who rules over all, that you will bring about exactly your plan, exactly what you have decreed. No one and nothing can stop you. And so we pray the promises. We pray for the nations to come in as we prayed this morning. We pray that you would be faithful and your covenant mercy, your grace would be abounding even to your covenant people, even to our children. And Father, we pray that we would not turn from you and break covenant with you. And so uphold us by your Holy Spirit. Now, Father, we do pray still for the congregation in San Diego and the family there. We pray that you would uphold them, give wisdom to the governing leaders as they investigate what happened, and pray that the just and right outcome will be brought about in this life and also in the next. That you would make the wife repentant of any sins that she has committed. And pray that we would be repentant of our own sin, of looking down upon our sister who professes faith still. And I pray that you would uphold her and cause her to look to Christ. We pray also for the congregation in Bell Center, Ohio, that you would uphold them, uphold their pastor, uphold the family and the children that have been affected by what happened this past week and the arrest of the parents. Pray that you would uphold them and grant your truth and just pronouncement, justice to come about. And Father, we do pray for this denomination, that you would make us to be a faithful denomination unto you and a faithful congregation to your word, that we would turn from our false ways of worshiping you, if there be any. That we turn from our false ways of evangelism, if there be any. That we turn from our ways in which we have added to you and your methods, your ways, according to your commandments and your word. And that we would follow after you alone. We pray that you would teach us that this evening. Even as we continue worshiping you now, bless us, not because we deserve it, but for the sake of Jesus Christ, your Son and our King and Savior, we pray in his name. Amen.